Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
We'll start this afternoon, though, with the news that US President Joe Biden has given the green light for Ukraine to use long-range US missiles to strike inside Russia. Russia has said that any decision by the US to allow Ukraine to fire US missiles deep into Russia would mean it was directly involved in the conflict, and accused President Joe Biden's administration of escalating the war. Kira Rudik, member of the Ukrainian Parliament and leader of the Holos political party and professor emeritus of history at University College Cork, Geoffrey Roberts, join me now to discuss this. You're both very welcome to the programme. Kira Rudik, I'll turn to you first of all. And what is Ukraine's reaction to what Vladimir Putin has said?
Hello, and thank you so much for having me. Well, we usually do not react to what Vladimir Putin says because it doesn't make any sense. There are actions that speak better than words. And these actions were the attacks on the peaceful city of Sumy, where the multi-story building was targeted, killing dozens of people. And today, the attack by ballistic missile on the city of Odessa, where 10 people, including 2 children, were killed just in their beds. Russia keeps terrorizing us, keeps attacking us every single day. I cannot remember a night that we didn't have to spend in a bomb shelter. So every time any of our allies is giving us a better opportunity just to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves from the terrorist that is after our lives, it is just another chance for us to live for a few more days and ability for our forces to take down Russian missile systems at the launch and not when they are approaching our homes.
And I'm watching reports of what you're mentioning in Odessa with horror, I must say. But the question still remains, I suppose, unanswered from our understanding of it, Kira, and you might help us understand. Ukraine and President Zelensky has been asking the US for these missiles for some time now and for permission to use them. But it was refused on the basis that the US feared it could lead to an escalation in the war. There is now a reversal of that decision or stance. Why do you think that is?
I think the involvement of the North Korean troops, where basically another country started to act as a part of the conflict, and having deployed those troops into the Kursk region, it created like the political ability for the United States to give us an opportunity to strike at least to that territory. We do not know details of them, this permission, how limited it is, and how many ATACMS missile systems is available to execute on this decision. But we know that it is opening up, again, just another chance for us to be able.
The line is just disintegrating. I might turn, first of all, we might come back to Kira Rudik, but I'll turn to UCC Professor Emeritus of History, Geoffrey Roberts. Geoffrey, it's good to have you on the programme. What's your read of this? I mean, is it an escalation of the war?
Well, it's definitely an escalation. The West has just crossed yet another of its own red lines. Biden administration said they wouldn't allow Ukraine to use these missiles for attacks on Russia. But now they are. It's one of many such decisions. But at the moment, it's a very small escalation because my understanding of the decision is that Ukraine is going to be allowed to use these missiles in the Kursk area of operations. Kursk, of course, being part of Kursk, being invaded by Ukrainian troops. So it's not strikes deep into Russia. It strikes in basically on the Kursk battlefield, where, of course, Ukraine is struggling to hold on to the territory and is occupied in Russia. So presumably the calculation is that these ATACMS missiles will enable the Ukrainians to put up a better fight in the Kursk area.
How do you think Vladimir Putin and Russia will respond, Geoffrey?
Sorry, say that again.
How do you think Russia and Vladimir Putin will respond?
I think it will be a very restrained and limited response because this decision by the United States, whatever, however the Ukrainians choose to implement it, is not going to make any fundamental difference to the strategic situation in the Kursk area, or indeed across the whole of the Ukrainian front. Sooner or later, the Ukrainians are going to be pushed out of Kursk, and there's no sign that their battlefield losses in other parts of the front, particularly in southern Ukraine, are abating. So it won't make it will obviously, they will hit some targets, they will kill some Russians, they will complicate life for Russian forces in the Kursk area in particular, but it's not going to fundamentally alter the picture of the war. And the picture of the war is that Russia is winning, and it's winning decisively. In those circumstances, Putin has no incentive to escalate the situation.
But you did mention that it was the US or the Western countries yet again breaking a red line for them. And if there is a limited response from Russia, would that not mean a further emasculation of Vladimir Putin as a leader? How would that play in Russia?
I don't think it will play in the way in which you suggest. I mean, you know, Putin's popularity in Russia is overwhelming. There are Russian hardliners who kind of like seize upon, you know, any sign of weakness on the part of Putin to argue their case for a radical escalation.
We don't know
how
popular he is in Russia, really and truly.
We do.
There haven't been fair democratic elections in Russia for some time.
Putin was elected president of Russia recently with, what was it, 80% of the vote. All the public opinion data shows that he's got 70 to 80% support.
Can we rely on that public
Russia.
Opinion data in fairness?
Yes, we can.
How do you know?
Because it's produced by reputable polling organisations, independent polling organisations, such as the Levada Centre, a very respected polling organisation. Most experts on Russia will accept that their polling data has been fairly accurate. And there's other organisations who also conduct polls and research, and it shows the same picture of huge popularity for Putin and huge support for the war and for his management.
Why do you say, I'll come back to Keir Rudik in just 1 second, how do you think or why do you say that Russia is winning the war?
Because of what's actually happening on the battlefield is that, you mentioned Kursk. I mean, Ukraine invaded the Kursk region in August. Well, it's lost half the territory that it initially occupied, and it suffered huge losses. Okay. And if you go all the way across the front, Ukrainian forces are being hammered, they're being pushed back. Why has that happened? It's not because of any lack of courage or indeed resilience on the Ukrainian part. It's because the Russians have overwhelming force at their disposal. They have overwhelming human resources.
Okay, I'll go back to Keir Rudik for literally a moment. The line broke down, Keir Rudik. How do you think this will play out over the next 24 or 48 hours?
I do not foresee anything like additionally happening other than things that are happening already. Like Russia constantly targets our cities with their missiles and bombs, and they have no intention of stopping that. And every time there is yet another world leader who would say, oh, Russia is ready for a peace deal, or this is what we are offering, a ceasefire, we say, well, just an hour ago there was a missile attack where innocent people were killed. How does it in your mind, how is going at the same way in your mind? Putin doesn't want peace. He never wanted that. He launched full-scale invasion, and he intends to move forward to the point where he will be stopped. Okay. Russia would not stop unless they're stopped. And right now we see only one country that is willing to do that physically, and it is Ukraine, and this is what we are doing. Okay. I think, Cormac, we are not talking enough about what would happen if Ukraine loses.
I think,
and it's like a very important topic.
And it's a point you've raised before, and we will certainly discuss with you again. Keir Rudik, Ukraine MP, thank you. And Professor Jeffrey Roberts, Professor Emeritus of History at UCC, thank you as well.